It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Hey, hey, hey. Good morning to you, and welcome back to Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori. So glad you could join us. And Damon Hack has been covering golf for years, and you can see him on the Golf Channel as co-host of Golf Today and on NBC as an interviewer at some of the top golf tournaments and championships in the world. And Damon joins us now. Welcome to Talkin' Golf, Damon Hack.
Good morning, Ann Liguori. How are you?
I'm fine. I think the last time I saw you, you were in an airport somewhere, of course.
Exactly.
During a conference call with our Met Golf Writers board meeting. I just love it. But what a year
funny.
In golf, and what a year you've had. And I'm curious what have been some of your own personal highlights from this season of golf, Damon.
Gosh, I've seen a lot of airports and a lot of green grass, though, and I love the game. And, you know, I always love going to the Masters. Went to the Open Championship this year. Royal Troon was awesome. Xander Schauffele won his second major of the season. The FedEx Cup playoffs have started. That conference call that you're talking about, I just left Memphis, the first leg of the FedEx Cup playoff. I'm on my way to the President's Cup in a couple weeks in Montreal. And I also covered the Olympics for NBC. I covered for our West Coast and Mountain Time Zone viewers. And just to be able to cover the likes of Sha'Carri Richardson and Scottie Scheffler, getting it done, Lydia Ko, getting the final piece of her LPGA Hall of Fame career, and, of course, seeing the greatness of Katie Ledecky in the pool. I mean, there's so many. The Olympics were awesome. So it's hard to pick a favorite. The golf has been awesome. The Olympics were great. You got gold medals from the men's and women's basketball teams. The U.S. women's soccer got a gold medal. It's just been an awesome summer.
Well, you covered all sports, right, with Sports Illustrated. So had you covered Olympics before this year?
Yeah, I was actually in Athens for the New York Times in 2004. That was my first time covering the Olympics. So, yeah, I've done Athens. I did Tokyo for NBC. I covered the biathlon for NBC in South Korea in 2018. So this is actually my fourth time covering the games. And at SI, I covered golf in the NFL, and I covered the Knicks for Newsday in a past life back when Van Gundy was the coach, and you had Ewing and Chris Childs and Allen Houston, Latrell Sprewell. So I've been in the area for a while. I was down in Florida for 8 years when Golf Channel was down there. And then, of course, Golf Channel got relocated to Stamford, Connecticut. So I moved back up to the Northeast. But, yeah, I've covered a whole bunch of different sports, and the Olympics has always been a highlight because you just bring all these various athletes from around the world and these different disciplines that you don't see week to week in sports. You know, you don't see kayaking and wrestling like you do in the Olympics and all these different things. You know, breakdancing made its debut, which had a little bit of controversy, as you know, and
right.
will not be a part of the program in 2028. But the Olympics always intriguing and a lot of fun.
Breakdancing, that was a stretch, I must say.
No doubt.
Unbelievable. But yeah, I've covered six Olympics for the network radio rights holders, and there's nothing quite like an Olympics, Damon. It's just, and again, if you can go to other events, as you, it sounds like you have, it's just, I don't know, it's just so exciting, and Paris just seemed to do everything right. I mean, I heard nothing
yeah.
but positive reports about how they ran the games, from transportation to technology. It was really great to hear.
Yeah, everything ran smoothly, and the stars performed. You know, you have the storylines like Leon Marchand, the swimmer from France, had a bang-up games, and Katie Ledecky was incredible. Steph Curry, Scottie Scheffler, Lydia Ko. I mean, you know, the big-time players, Asia Wilson in women's basketball, you had the stars perform. And you had some great underdog stories as well. But listen, you know, we're a quarterback business. We love Derek Jeter, and we love Eli Manning and Tom Brady and the late great Dave Anderson, our friend, and who was a longtime member of the Met Golf Writers. I used to sit next to him when I wrote for the New York Times, and one day I was struggling to find a topic to write about. He says, "Damon, always write the quarterback." And what he meant was you write the star player. You know, you write the big time player. Everyone wants to read about, you know, Derek Jeter and Daryl Strawberry and Doc Gooden. They want to read about the big-time names and the big-time players. And I think the Olympics had a plethora of big-time stars performing at the height of their power.
Certainly great advice from the great Dave Anderson, for sure. Well, let's get into the BMW Championship. So 30 players from the field of 50 will advance after today's final round to the Tour Championship, the Tour Finale. Do you like the FedEx Cup playoffs, Damon? I mean, is it this format? Have you gotten used to it? Do you like the way they do it?
I like it more now than I did earlier. I like that the numbers have gotten smaller. I thought 125 was too many players for a playoff. As a sports fan, I wanted more jeopardy. I wanted more broken hearts. And I wanted the best of the best to be rewarded. So I like the start of 70 players. I might even go a little bit tighter than that, but I think the move from 125 to 70 was good. I like the move to 70 to 50 to 30. So I do like the format more than I used to. I think the Tour was trying to find a way to bind the season together and to have a little bit of a strong finish to a year when most people are paying attention to the majors and the Ryder Cup in the President's Cup. So this was the PGA Tour's answer of, okay, football has a Super Bowl, baseball has a World Series, NBA has the NBA Finals. What can we do at the end of our season to have eyeballs on our product, bringing the best players in the game together in the FedEx Cup playoffs were their answer. And I thought it was a little bit, I'll use the term flabby at the start. It was just a little too many players that didn't necessarily have great seasons that were in the playoffs, but now you've got the sharpest 70, and then the sharpest 50, and then the sharpest 30, and I'm okay with that.
But what about how the different under par starts? Like Scottie Scheffler, number one in points, would begin the tournament 10 under par. That to me always seemed a little strange.
Yeah, I don't love that. I think the Tour, and we both know, they've tried various different ways to do it. There have been years when the FedEx Cup champ was already decided before they got to the East Lake. You know, Vijay Singh had such a great year 1 year back in 04. No, it would have been 04, but a little bit later than that. It would have been 08. Tiger won in 07. Vijay won the next year. And then he had such a big lead, and that the tournament, essentially the season-long race, was decided. This is a little bit messy when Scotty starts with minus 10 and Xander will probably start with minus 8 and then Rory at minus 7. And then when Keegan holds on today and wins the BMW, he started minus 6. He'd be in fourth place, projected fourth from 50, which is a great move.
Incredible story.
It shows how well he's playing in Denver. But, yeah, you know, we're used to seeing 72 holes. Everybody starts at the same spot. It's growing on me a little bit. I don't love it, but I know that the Tour has tried many different ways and weighting systems and trying to have some sort of jeopardy. After the first day, and we've seen this before, just because the guy starts at minus 10 doesn't mean he's going to win. I mean, Scotty's been in that position before, and Rory caught him and won the FedEx Cup for a third time when everybody thought that Scotty would get the job done. So I do think it's a little bit odd and maybe a little unwieldy, but it doesn't mean that we won't have some drama come Saturday and Sunday in Atlanta.
Exactly. And with Keegan Bradley, our captain, Ryder Cup captain for next year, taking that one-shot lead at 12-under over Adam Scott. I mean, had to just kind of wait a week ago to see if he was going to even qualify for this, get into the top 50 for the BMW Championship. But, you know, what I've seen from and heard, you know, from watching him this week, his status seems to have been elevated by being named Ryder Cup captain. I mean, the reception for him and for his play this week has just been really fun to watch. I mean, he has this whole new status, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. He's always been a passionate player who plays his best when he's wearing red, white, and blue. And he's had his heart broken in defeat in 2014 as a player for Tom Watson's Ryder Cup team. Didn't get to play that much. And didn't have his heart broken, you know, most recently back in 2023 when he didn't make the Ryder Cup team when he thought he probably would get a spot on Zach Johnson's team. And the PGA of America really thinking outside the box. Said, listen, we know this guy bleeds red, white, and blue, loves representing the country in the President's Cup and the Ryder Cup. And you know, they asked Tiger, who obviously won a U.S. Open at Bethpage Black and who would have had the crowds going crazy. And they said, let's get this kid from New England, who went to St. John's, who has his own ties to Long Island, and Bethpage, and he used to sneak out of the golf course. He's only supposed to play 14 holes, but sometimes or they hop on from the road and play the final four holes. Sometimes we tell some great stories about doing funny things at Bethpage Black. But the kid's got so many great ties to the area. He's a Red Sox fan, so he'll get a little stick from the crowd. But when it comes to wearing the red, white, and blue and wanting the U.S. to beat Europe, it's going to be all oars and boats rowing in the same direction.
Yeah, I really love the pick. I love the fact that he was picked as Ryder Cup captain. He knows the guys. He's playing on the tour. Yet he's a little older and separated. You know what I mean? I mean, he's close enough to the guys, but yet older and can make his decisions without being swayed. And, you know, and as patriotic as you can get, he's just a Ryder Cup. He has so much passion for it. So I love the pick and all the ties to the New York area, as you mentioned. As the season winds down, Damon, what are your thoughts on Player of the Year? Xander or Scotty?
I'm going Scotty. I just think that six wins, and I know that Xander's got two major championships, but Scotty's got the Masters and the Players and four signature events. And though it doesn't count in terms of the PGA Tour wins, he also won a gold medal in Paris. And even though the Players, you know, aren't supposed to weigh that, it's another huge accolade in a season of them for the world number one. And also the Players pay attention to like scoring average and strokes gained off the tee and the kind of inside baseball, as it were, you know, stats from the golf season. And I just think Scotty has been a dominant force, the two majors for Xander notwithstanding. It's been fun following these two kids, and they are similar in that they love work. It was like a billion degrees in Memphis, and they were both on the driving range after rounds of golf, working on their game, sweating through shirts. I'm going Scotty for Player of the Year.
I agree with you. Scotty Scheffler, I would pick him over Xander. Definitely. Very close. What a great season they both have had. It's made it very exciting for people like you and me who cover this sport for a living. And hey, always great to catch up with you, Damon Hack. Continued success. Love your work. And we'll see you somewhere, probably in an airport.
No doubt. Thanks so much, Dan.
Enjoy the day. Beautiful golf day. My thanks to Damon Hack, to Martin Dempster in St. Andrews, to Brian Rascona in the studio. What a show today, Brian. Great job. Talking Golf with Ann LaGoria is brought to you by Ivy Cole Luxury Athleisure Apparel for men and women, featuring the exclusive Icefill cooling technology along with UPF 50+ sun protection. Visit ibkol.com to learn more. Mark Melusis is up next. And I look forward to visiting with you next Sunday morning for what will be our final show of the season, right here on Talking Golf with Ann LaGoria.